KPCW News time is 8:06. You're listening to the Local News Hour. I'm Roger Goldman. Let's find out what the weather forecast is for today and this week, this opening day. On the phone, I have Nate Larson with ABC4. Nate, what are the skiers going to find today?
Today's lots of sunshine and milder temperatures out there, Roger. We've got high pressure still in place, southwest flow, so temperatures a little warmer than they otherwise typically would be this time of year up on the slopes as well. We've got good news, though. We have snow on the way this weekend, so a storm system will bring increasing moisture tomorrow into Sunday afternoon, maybe even the evening for some of the mountain areas. And no winter weather advisories issued yet, but some of the early estimates are showing decent snow totals, even for Park City, maybe 2 to 3 to 6 inches for Park City, and we're looking at for some of the mountain areas 6 to 12 inches of snow. So decent moisture. This is a part of the atmospheric river event that's taken shape along the Pacific coast. We've had drenching rains in Northern California. A storm system's going to steer some of that moisture into Northern Utah as we get into tomorrow. So today, plan on 53 for the high in Park City, partly cloudy. Overnight lows near 36. It's going to be windy tomorrow ahead of the front. Temperatures dropping, though, to 48. Plan on rain showers increasing into the afternoon, over to snow into Sunday. We'll have 29 for the overnight low into Sunday morning, 35 for the high, off and on snow showers again into the afternoon or possible after fairly widespread snow in the morning. Looking at partly cloudy skies Monday, we get a bit of a break in between storm systems Sunday evening into Monday afternoon. Another system should bring a chance of moisture again late Monday and continue to provide snow chances into Tuesday and Wednesday. Temperatures are going to stay in the 30s for highs early next week. In fact, 37 on Monday and Tuesday, just 33 on Wednesday, with snow chances continuing Wednesday into the afternoon before clearing out. I think we're going to be dry for Thanksgiving. Most models indicating just partly cloudy skies, but cold temperatures under northwest flow, about 30 degrees on Turkey Day in Park City right now. Hebert looking at 59 today, 54 tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, chance of rain in the afternoon and evening, snow chances on Sunday. Overnight lows near 27, but 41 for the high in the afternoon. Could be a bit of a wintry mix each afternoon as moisture continues to move in. Partly cloudy Monday, a bit of a break, but then rain and snow, over to snow Tuesday into Wednesday. Temperatures just 39 for the high Wednesday, with 36 on Turkey Day for Heber as well.
So, Nate, I'm listening to that forecast. Sounds like we're going to have a pretty good week for snowmaking, doesn't it?
Snowmaking, and yeah, should be a decent storm for Mother Nature, too. The temperature outlook for beyond that, so we're going to cool off next week, see some chilly temperatures for snowmaking after the snow clears out, and temperatures are looking like they should be below average heading into the 8 to 14 day outlook. Not a lot of moisture, though, showing up in the second week of the forecast right now.
Well, if we can't have snow, at least we've got cold, right?
That's right.
All right, Nate. Thanks, and have a good weekend.
You too.
Coming up, we're going to be speaking with Connor Thomas, who's going to join us live from opening day at PCMR. He's up in the Canyons Village. Then we're going to, after some local news, we're going to get a chance to chat with Tana Tolley, who's going to talk to us about last night's Park City Council meeting. And we're going to finish our hour by speaking with Chase Noteware of the Park City High School National Honor Society about their upcoming food drive. Stay tuned. We now have Connor Thomas calling in from the Canyons Village on opening day. Connor, what are you looking at?
Oh, I'm looking at some snow guns blowing, and I'd say a dozen or so people lined up for the Red Pine Gondola. We do have first chair winners. Haven't been able to speak to them yet, but I'm told that they were out here all night. I don't see any tents, though. It could have been some real hardcore camping just in your jackets if they were truly out here all night. They may or may be skipping school. We're going to confirm or deny that here in a second.
Have you been able to see them? Are they young people?
Yep, and the most dedicated people out here for sure. When I got here at 7:30, there were really only like 7 or 8 people in line, and those four, there's a dedicated group of four up front. Pretty excited for their first gondola cabin, but it's going to be interesting to see who gets their skis on first at the top of RPG. Because the banner break today, and I'm told it's the highest banner break in the Wasatch by elevation, it's going to be at the top of Saddleback. So there's going to be a little mad dash for the Saddleback Express after they get off Red Pine Gondola. And it'll be interesting if they truly get first chair, but they will get first cabin.
So now who gets the t-shirt? Do they have the I Rode the First Chair t-shirts this year?
They are finding them for them right now. They don't have them on yet. But it looks like we've got a group of five... five guys that will have their t-shirt here pretty soon. So stay tuned for what the design is this year, but I'm excited for them.
And I'm assuming we're going to have a picture of that we can put up on our website.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Connor, if someone wants to come out to Canyons Village today, do you have a sense of how much is open on that side of the mountain today?
Yeah. Well, I know overall, Park City Mountain, both sides, they promised at least 325 skiable acres today. I'll give you a rundown of the lifts.
Sure.
So, of course, Cabriolet to get you up from Cab Lot. It's not crowded. At least it wasn't when I was there around 7 o'clock. You should have no problem parking in that, at least today. Can't say February, but... then Red Pine Gondola, going to get up to the bottom of High Meadow and Saddleback. That's the beginner lift, High Meadow, Saddleback Express. Generally, Coco Pelly is the main run that's open early season on this side of the mountain. And they'll have Magic Carpet up there as well for the little ones. If you're going to PCMR Mountain Village side today, it's going to be Payday and first time that beginner lift and their carpet as well. So that's kind of your offerings. I'm anticipating Home Run will be open off of Payday, and maybe a couple other runs besides that.
Do you have any sense of how much cover in terms of, I hesitate to use the word base, but I suppose that's technically the term, they have on some of these runs that they're opening today?
Well, as I was driving up, it looks like they've been blowing a lot of snow. I think they started October 30th. And so they've kind of got that arterial look where the runs themselves are pretty white, but the rest of the mountain, you still have grass poking through. But it's an earlier start with snow blowing than they got last year, which is good to hear. It was definitely a slow start to last winter, and it looks like we're back to more of a typical beginning winter here, and that's really good to see.
Now, do you have any sense, Connor, is this a full open in the sense that going forward they're going to be open 7 days a week and regular hours?
Yes, and you know, I mean, full open in the sense that it'll be
right.
Weather dependent, depending on what terrain's open, and you know, occasionally they'll close stuff back up. It was something we covered in the early season last year because of that lack of coverage. They're always opening things to help skiers compact the snow and develop that skiable base, and they might close it back down because if you groom runs too much, you get rocks and dirt mixed in with the snow, which later in the season is going to do a number on your base, the base of your board or your skis. And so it's really weather dependent and dynamic in that way. So it's not just like once it's open, it's open. They're making these calls every day and trying to create the best experience that day, but also just keep in mind the longevity of the mountain with all the skiers that we do see here in Park City.
Now, given the limited number of runs that are open, I assume that there'll also be a limited number of food options available from the mountain. Do you have any sense of what's going to be open on that side, on the food side, on either side of the mountain?
I know food and beverage will be open, and there's free coffee at the Canyons Village base today, but I can't tell you exactly which lodges. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I'm up the mountain when I come back later in the hour, I can tell you about Red Pine Lodge, but there will be food and beverage options open on both sides today. I would refer folks to Park City's website to double check exactly what's open, and you know, that's also where you can start to get your terrain reports about which lifts are on hold, which ones are open, which ones are closed for the day.
Now, it sounds like you've got a fairly burdensome assignment today. Something in your last comment made me, it sounded as though you've got your skis with you and are going to be going up the lift as well.
Oh gosh, the job is really difficult, yeah. No, it's we're going to be headed up. I guess technically we get first chair because we're going to be up there to watch the Lucky Five break that banner off of Saddleback, and they're going to debut or at least show us some of the new snowmaking they've got here at Canyons Village. As we've reported, this is the side of the mountain that's going to look a little different to people, not super different, but they've really made an effort to open up the tombstone area earlier this winter. They've added some new snow guns to Chicane and to Another World, multiple miles of snow guns on Another World, and they're hoping to have that early December. Over on Chicane, they're trying to get those snow guns going so you can get to Tombstone earlier and do Red Pine Road and Another World, of course, off of the top of Tombstone. And then on Chicane, there's that Chicane Bypass, mm-hmm. which is the easier way down to Tombstone. They've made that even easier this year. They pulled it up a little bit, made that grade a little more gentle, and you've got the new run Tombstone Alley for those beginner skiers to get down to Tombstone.
Okay. Any information about what's going on over at the the Village Base, the Park City Mountain Base.
Well, we're hoping to see Winter Sports School graduate today. That's always exciting to have a fall graduation. They're going to begin their training period. They have that inverted schedule throughout the year so that they can ski in the winter and study in the summer. Other than that, just wish everyone a good, safe opening day. It's going to be pretty warm at its peak today in the 50s, but for now it's pleasantly chilly, not frigid, but not slushy by any stretch yet.
Okay, Connor, so I take it you're going to try to get a chance to talk to some of the Fabulous Five later and come back. Can you come back later in the hour and tell us about it?
Yep, I'll be back around 8:40, 8:45.
All right. Thanks, Connor. We'll be right back after this. So similar to the rest of the country, Summit County voters moved toward Donald Trump in the 2024 election. KPCW's Mark Parker Malatesta reports.
With 56% of votes, Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris won the majority of ballots in Summit County, typically a liberal stronghold in conservative Utah. But compared to the 2020 presidential race, Trump increased his share of votes in Summit County by over 2 percentage points. All numbers are according to the Utah Election Results website. Trump performed the best in the Echo area of northern Summit County, where he won over 86% of votes. The president-elect also won over 80% of votes in South Colville and Hennifer. Harris did well in Summit Park and the Park City neighborhoods of Old Town and Prospector, collecting nearly 80% of votes in those precincts. Trump also did slightly better in Wasatch County when compared to 2020, increasing his vote share by a little over 1 percentage point to 62%. The Republican nominee won over 80% of votes near Wallsburg and the neighborhood surrounding Wasatch High School. Harris did the best in Interlochen and Hideout, taking over 60% of votes in those precincts. This reporting does not include precincts with single-digit vote counts. The Summit County and Wasatch County Councils certified the presidential election results on November 19th. The Utah Lieutenant Governor's Office begins its certification of results November 25th. Parker Malatesta, KPCW News.
A festive kickoff to the holiday season opens Friday night with the annual Create PC Holiday Makers Market. The market will feature the works of dozens of local artists, which will be on display and for sale throughout January. KPCW's Leslie Thatcher has more.
Create PC is a local artist collective that showcases Summit County's creativity and craftsmanship and is hosted by the Arts Council of Park City and Summit County. Arts Council Executive Director Jocelyn Scudder says this family-friendly event brings together 80 local artisans offering a one-of-a-kind opportunity to shop for handcrafted gifts.
Many of them don't necessarily have their own brick-and-mortar stores, so that's really why the Arts Council does this program, is to support that creative sector, you know, that creative person that lives here who's looking to make a living through their creative endeavors. And we have so many cool things. We have cookies and chocolates and tapenades and jams and apparel and woodworking and ceramics and what am I forgetting? Jewelry.
Local photographer Mark Maziarz has participated in the market since they started 8 years ago.
I've got a few different projects going on. The one right now that I'm most interested in is it's a series I call Dreamy Park City. And it's more like dreamy, ethereal, more less representational parts of Park City. So like it's setting a mood. It makes you think a little bit more rather than like a really clear shot of Main Street where you see all the stores and all the people walking. It's a little more... It's the more fine art aspect of my career that I'm really enjoying.
The launch party is free from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday at Create PC at 1500 Kearns Boulevard behind Tupelo Restaurant. After opening night, the market will be open Wednesday through Sunday from noon to 6 p.m. For more information, see the link online at kpcw.org. Leslie Thatcher, KPCW News.
We heard from Connor Thomas from the Canyons Village side, getting ready for opening day, looking at the mountain cams for the Park City Village base. You can see that there's probably about 70 or 80, maybe even 100 people lined up trying to get on payday. So it's going to be a big opening day on both sides of the mountain. In more local news, Snyderville Basin Planning Commissioner Chris Conaby has resigned midway through his second term. KPCW's Connor Thomas reports the Volunteer Planning Board is now accepting applications.
Conaby is a principal at real estate development firm Utah Development and Construction, and he says there's a flurry of projects coming, which will take time away from his duties as chair of the Snyderville Basin Planning Commission.
I have too much work, and I'm gonna fail at both of them if I continue. So I did tell the county commissioners that that should free up in a period of time, and I would love to do public service again. I always try and make sure I'm doing something. in the public arena just to give back.
Summit County advertised the vacancy November 20th and is accepting applications on its website through 5 p.m. Wednesday, December 4th. Connaby says he received kind notes from fellow commissioners after informing them of his plans.
We're getting ready to have a new chair. She'll be awesome, Tyann Mooney. She's very, very well educated and very bright.
The Planning Commission is both administrative and legislative. That means it considers permit applications for properties in western Summit County outside of Park City proper, and it writes the changes to that area's development code. Commissioners interview with and are appointed by the Summit County Council. Most recently, the Planning Commission approved a new Maverick gas station and convenience store at Old Highway 40. It also reviews developments in Canyons Village. Coming up, it'll see an application from the Utah Olympic Park for a hotel around its freestyle pool. Connaby's firm, which has built much of the UOP, is the contractor. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
The Park City School District added a second Jewish holiday to the 2025-2026 calendar. However, KPCW's Christine Weller reports fall break may not align with surrounding districts.
The Park City School District has closed schools for Yom Kippur, a Jewish high holiday, since 2022. Now, schools will close for another high holiday next year, Rosh Hashanah. Board members advocated for the addition of Rosh Hashanah last month, citing feedback from families and reports of discrimination and anti-Semitism that came to light earlier this year. However, the new calendar does not accommodate everyone. During a Board of Education meeting Tuesday, district staff and teachers provided feedback. Teachers and staff who don't live in the Park City area said they want the calendar to align fall break with other districts. Historically, that's been tied to UEA break, when Utah educators gathered for a statewide conference. Though the conference is no longer held, many districts still have their fall break during the same period. Board member Nick Hill expressed his preference to accommodate this request in the calendar, as well as the two Jewish holidays. However, the board decided to have a test year where they move fall break so Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah can be included. Board member Meredith Reed said it was a tough decision during KPCW's local news hour Thursday.
This was a challenging issue for us, and we did take the input of the calendar committee of teachers and administrators who worked on this issue. There's not one wonderful, perfect answer for this, so this was a test year to see how this goes, and we can adjust going forward if we need to.
Interim Superintendent Caleb Fine said a calendar accommodating both is technically possible, but would come at the cost of something else. In this case, school would start a day earlier and teachers could lose a preparation day.
Even the calendar committee said, you know, there's a lot of options, but I think that the Jewish holidays are something that the board wanted to prioritize.
Board Vice President Wendy Crossland said during the board meeting, there is still the opportunity for other districts to align their break with Park City. She said many districts have not yet established a 2025 to 2026 calendar. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
Thousands of Utah families with food insecurity will get to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner thanks to the 23rd annual Turkey Drive. Last year, the Park City Board of Realtors Philanthropic Foundation donated 2,500 turkeys to feed families in the Wasatch Back and beyond. Organizer Jana Lee Jacobson says so far, the organization has 4,000 birds to distribute. It is now asking the community for help to raise $100,000 to finish the feast.
We have been able to get enough funds to start getting the side dishes for those turkeys. So right now we don't have the funds to give enough for 4,000 families, but we're getting there.
Jacobson says 1,800 of the turkeys will go to the Park City Christian Center to distribute. Others will go to local organizations around the Wasatch Back and to families in Salt Lake and Central Utah. Board members will be at the market at Park City from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday and Friday to collect donations. More information and to donate online, visit kpcw.org. Joining me in the studio this morning is Tana Tolley. She is not dressed to go to opening day on PCMR. She's here to talk about what happened at last night's city council meeting. Morning, Tana.
Good morning, Roger. And yes, I am going to go out today. It's one of my very favorite days. We live in a ski town. I'm very excited to go skiing. I've gone on first day quite a few years in a row, so I will be out there.
Okay. So in terms of last night, you started yesterday afternoon. You had a working session on transit pilot projects. Let's talk about what those are. Can you share some of the highlights?
Sure. So we've been asking our team to really get into some disruptive ideas. We realize there's just not one single avenue or one single arrow that's going to solve the traffic and transportation in town. So we've asked to just look at lots of different avenues that we can discover, and a few of those are more kind of low-hanging fruit. They're not going to move the needle too much, but they're going to help in some ways. So One of those is a van pool program. So this would be the city putting in about $80,000 for us to work with businesses around town to provide vans that are from Enterprise. And this is a program where they basically rent the vans for the winter, and then their employees would be able to carpool into town. And they go up to about 15 passengers, so potentially taking 15 cars off the road. This would be used for the Wasatch Back, not for vans and people coming from Salt Lake. There's already that program through UTA.
So how would this work? You say, would they park? Where would they park to pick up the van?
They would park at their business. So you would have the employees themselves would be trained, and the Enterprise comes in and speaks with them. And then they basically take the car home with them, and then they would pick up the people, and then they would go to work, and then they would leave. So just like it would be their own van.
Okay. So I'm not gathering this.
Yeah.
All right. We've got employees here in the Wasatch Back. The van, one of the employees would take the van home. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
The employees would drive the van. They would go pick up the other employees, kind of like carpool when
it's
I was in third grade.
It's just like carpool, but this is a van that is given by rented by Enterprise, I should say. And so the city is
subsidizing
part of it so that we can help get multiple cars off the road.
Is that kind of an experiment? Has that been done in other places
with
some success?
Yeah. I didn't ask exactly where, but I did read in our packet there's over 100 places that they're doing this, and it's working really well.
And, okay, so the estimated cost of that would be, is that the $80,000?
Up to $80,000. And if we had a conversation that if we find that it's going really well, then we would be willing to put in additional funds.
Okay, and you're hoping to do that this year?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's
get it going.
Okay.
The second one, and I'm not necessarily going in order, was storage lockers at the Old Town Transit Center. Those are already there. So these are about the size that you could put ski boots, a helmet in, or packages. And if you've gone shopping on Main Street and you wanted to take your packages and put them into a locker because you rode the bus, this gives you the option to do that for the day. It also gives people the options to put their ski boots in there or their street shoes. These would be $1 per hour, up to $10 for the entire day. And then at night, they would be cleaned out. They're not an overnight locker.
Okay, so it's not a long-term, it's basically a day locker.
Yeah, it's basically kind of this idea that, let's say you did not want to drive to Main Street, but you did want to go shopping, right? So you would come to Main Street, and you have all these bags with you, and you're like, I would like to go to dinner, too. So this will give you an option. You could go put them in there, and then continue to have a fun night on Main Street, and then take your bus home. So
same with the ski thing. Like, if I skied for the day,
right.
I could leave them and go to dinner.
Absolutely.
And how late will it be open?
As long as the transit center is open.
So you could go to dinner, even go enjoy the Park City nightlife. If you had enough energy to do that after skiing, you could do all those things and still come back.
You should have a lot of energy after skiing. It should get really in your adrenaline, pump you up.
Okay, I remember those days. Okay, then what about the taxi reimbursement pilot program?
Yeah, so this one we do need to do a little more work on. This one we realize that there's a part of our community that is in what we call like a transit desert, where there's no bus service to those areas. So those are places like Aspen Springs and the Oaks. And there's 664 households in this area. So we're trying to figure out how do we get transit or some sort of solution to them. And so this idea would be that if you were a resident, you could call a taxi or call, we're trying to decide whether you'd be able to call Lyft or Uber as well. And then you could then go to the city and say, okay, this week I took 3 rides to Deer Valley to ski. And then the city would reimburse you $10 per ride. So there's still some more information that we've asked for the team to come back and share with us. And that had a lot more to do with if we wanted to use local taxi companies versus Lyft and Uber. The mayor is greatly in support of supporting our local taxi services, as am I. So we did want to have our team come back with just a little more information before we move forward with that one.
Now, there was a micro transit program in the past that did something similar to this, wouldn't
it? And that was upwards of almost $1 million. So this one is taking a very different approach. So we're using that idea, but trying to do it in a way that is more fiscally responsible.
Okay. Again, my question. Have you looked at other places that have done something similar, and has this proven to be successful?
Ooh, I did not ask that question, Roger, but I will. I'm sure that it's out there because our team is always going out and doing a lot of good research to find out what's happening in other places.
And that staying on this topic, there was the MyStop app to the transit app.
Can
you explain what's going on?
I'm excited about this one. As you know, I own a small business, and I have a team of people who do not live inside of Park City, and a lot of them take transit in. And they have said it's very difficult sometimes to use this app because it doesn't connect to High Valley. So you're downloading the High Valley app, and you were downloading this Park City app. This one allows you to see UTA, which also includes tracks, and allows you to see High Valley Transit. So, and it also gives you like walking time. So it's basically, I sort of feel like it's a lot like Google Maps, where you type in your location and it says you need to walk, you know, a quarter of a mile to this bus stop, and then the bus will be here in 3 minutes. And it actually, if you have your notifications on, it will alert you and say, start walking right now. And so this app just really combines all of the transit systems in Utah. I mean, you could basically get to the airport really quickly from one app here.
So this is, I guess, trying to solve another complexity from the split between High Valley Transit and the Park City bus system.
Sure, you could say that. I will say that our team, you're the best. I will say that our team has said that a lot of the negative feedback that they received was about the app. And so they wanted to take all of that feedback and really go out and find something that would work better for the people who are using our transit system.
I want to stay on transit, although I have some other questions. Earlier this week, Council held a joint session with the Summit County Council and High Valley Transit regarding the potential widening of 224. My understanding is there were some concerns expressed by some of the Park City Council members about the plan for the widening of 224, and it certainly some people came away with the impression that the city was reconsidering whether it would actually actively participate. What were the concerns being expressed, and where does the city stand on that project?
Well, the concerns were multifaceted, and I would not put I don't want to put words in any of the other councilors' mouths, so I would refer to them on their exact thinking on those. But some of the concerns that we heard were about the cost and what should Park City's contribution be to the program, and who is it actually serving, and then also, do we need to widen the roads as much as been proposed? Is there a possibility to save money by reducing the amount of stops or reducing the amount of asphalt? And so there were different concerns there. I would say we asked to have some more conversations that involved having our staff be part of the conversations with High Valley. I know they have been in the past, and we just want to continue those and ensure that Park City's concerns from the council as well as from the community are being addressed. But there was no one said, we don't want to move forward with this. It was more, we still have some questions, so let's all sit down and get these questions hammered out before we say, okay, here's a check from Park City Municipal.
And there was one interaction that as it's been explained to me, was an issue regarding site visits relating to the program. And there was some issue as to whether or not that had been adequately communicated to Park City. And I believe that High Valley said that it had been communicated to staff. What happened there?
The site visit one, I believe, is related to going to places like Ogden who have this program in place. I did not know that that was an option. I will say, though, I was with Caroline and multiple people from our team in 2023 in Fort Collins, and we did go through the Fort Collins BRT system, and I actually learned quite a bit about BRT by being in Fort Collins on City Tour.
Okay, we've got to be careful. BRT is Bus Rapid Transit.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right. So this is all about the widening of 224 to facilitate quicker movement at 224. Let's talk about money. I know that there were concerns about money. As I understand it, High Valley Transit gave what they called a worst-case scenario of the city chipping in some $20 million. How do you feel about that?
I honestly can't answer that. I think there's a lot of questions regarding where does that $20 million fit into the equation? Mm-hmm. As one of my comments was, have you spoken to the resorts? Have you spoken to the school district? Have you spoken to different agencies in town to see if there's also going to be funding from them? And so that was one of the things I had asked Caroline to look at. Because as the way it stood, it felt very much like it was just the county and the city putting in funds. And so that was one of my concerns was, can we please talk about where this number is coming from? And then are there other ways that we can also be funding it?
As I sit here thinking about this and the number of potential players and the complexity of the dollars, How do you, it seems pretty complicated to get this done. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, how you think the process is going to work. Obviously, we have where you were at this meeting, and, you know, how do we get from here to there? How do you sort of get that closure with the other potential stakeholders, and who's running that show?
Yeah, I actually think we're really far along. This has been going on almost a decade. I mean, this was, from what I understand, and I was not on council, this was part of a Park City plan was to do this. And so this has just gone through many iterations and many different councils, and it will probably continue to go through more iterations and more councils. But I do feel like we're almost to the end here of getting it. This was, I believe, going to start in 2025. So we are at the, kind of at the gate. And I believe what Caroline was asking is Park City going to come along as a partner? So as I mentioned, no one said, no, we don't want to do that. We just asked for more clarification on some of the questions, but High Valley is the one that is running this program.
They're driving the bus, so to speak. And again, when do you think the final decision by Park City as to its participation, is that the gating issue for High Valley at this point? That are you the last piece that has to get to say yes for them to sort of say, okay, we can stick a shovel in the ground, or we can finalize the plan to stick a shovel in the ground?
I don't know for sure. Okay. I don't want to speak for Caroline, but I will speak for Park City wants to move fast and answer these questions as quickly as possible. We don't want to just have this hanging out there, right? Like we definitely want to say yes or no and move this forward, because a lot of work and a lot of time has been put in by Caroline's team as well as the Park City team. And so we want to make sure that we're giving some direction as quickly as possible.
And just so I understand where it ends, are there action items that you have requested information, and when or who is supposed to get back to you with that?
That we have requested information, and Caroline is working with our team on answering those questions, and then they would come back to us in a council work session. I would assume that is going to be after January. We only have a couple meetings left in this year.
Okay. Anything else on that topic?
No.
Okay. The council approved of a resolution regarding Small Business Saturday. How important are small businesses to this local economy?
They are our lifeblood, Roger. We have close to 1,400 business licenses for small businesses in Park City. And so they are something that's obviously near and dear to my heart. I think that entrepreneurs and small business owners are how we stay our unique and exciting and historic town. And I love our small businesses, and I am a huge supporter of spending as much money as I can in those small businesses. So this resolution is just to remind the community that we do have a Small Business Saturday coming up next weekend after Thanksgiving. And also HPCA is doing something new this year where they're going to be doing a window decorating contest. So if you're a business owner, you can sign up and you can decorate your windows, and then it will go hand in hand with lighting of the tree. We're going to have lighting of the trolley. And then I think the snow globes are already out there. So there's a lot going on Main Street. And we just encourage people to come to small businesses on Main Street as well as in the rest of the community.
And we'll be doing a segment, which the ACPA on Monday's Mountain Money, as well to talk about the upcoming Small Business Saturday. Are any of the restaurants doing anything special for Small Business Saturday, Tom? Do you know?
I'm sure there are some that are, but I don't need to promote the one that I know of.
Not that one. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
It has to do with hot chocolate, though.
Okay, so what are the snow globes?
The snow globes. I just saw one as I was driving up. So those have been, I
think,
pretty
new. Who puts those up?
HPCA.
HPCA, okay. Before we go, I want to touch briefly on the open houses regarding the Main Street plan. And what is your perspective on the council saw and public was allowed to view some potential mock-ups of like the full-blown this could happen here plan, which was pretty complicated and, you know, pretty sweeping. What is your perspective on how, you know, what should be done with Main Street, and how long is it going to take to decide?
Well, that's a pretty complex question.
Yes, it is.
We did have, I think upwards of 150 people come out during those two open houses, which was a phenomenal response. And that was everything from businesses to residents and even some people who were in the workforce. And as I believe Ryan has mentioned on the radio and the mayor, you know, the team that was constructed has taken everything off the shelf and has really put it into this plan. And we're saying, okay, we've been talking about a gondola for 20 years. Let's just decide if this gondola idea is worth pursuing or is it not. If it's not worth pursuing, let's stop talking about it, put it back on the shelf. if it is worth pursuing, then let's see if it's feasible, and then let's make some decisions around that. With things like the pedestrianizing Main Street, I've been hearing about that for 20 years of my life. If we really are going to move forward with it, then let's actually do something that works for the businesses and then works for the community who would want to come out. And I actually did like the idea of the pedestrian light. I think it gives a good compromise to the winter months when it's almost impossible to be completely pedestrianized. But it also gives the option to do it in the weekends of the summer, because we would have these the bollards come in and out. And I do like the idea of the bulb outs and allowing more space for people to walk and more space for people to dine. I think that that's very revolutionary in how we're going to remain the heart and soul of the Wasatch Back.
Okay. Last question before we go. Deer Valley was scheduled to discuss public financing mechanisms for the Snow Park Village project, but I understand that was canceled. I understand also the city has received a lot of opposition. Can you talk a little bit about what you've heard and what you think is likely to happen next with respect, what you think is likely to happen next with respect to the public financing issue?
Yeah, so at this moment, what we know is that Deer Valley just asked to withdraw their application, and they've received some more input, and then they are rethinking what they're doing, and then they have the option to come back to us and ask again, or they can come back and ask for something else. But at this moment, I would definitely recommend just asking Deer Valley where they are in it, because I don't have any additional information on why they chose not to.
And can you comment on the what the city has heard in terms of the opposition to the proposal?
Yeah, we've had quite a few emails. We've had emails in support and emails in opposition. And you know, most of the people are talking about the parent company of Deer Valley and how it interacts as being a private entity, and how can they come and ask us for money and that sort of thing. So we definitely respect and read every single email that has come in, and I mean, I've gone through all of them. I've replied to almost every single person, and we're doing exactly what we should be doing, which is listening to the community and taking input from all the stakeholders and taking input from all of the residents. And we will continue to read emails that come in. I got a couple this morning that are still talking about it. So, but at this moment, we have no additional information on it.
Okay, anything else you want to touch on before we go?
No, Roger, I thought you were going to ask me if I was running next year. But I guess we ran out of time.
Oh no, we always have time. Tana, are you contemplating running for re-election this year?
Oh, Roger, that will be for another time. But yes, I absolutely love being on council, and it has been such a pleasure to serve this community, and I feel like there's still so much that I can do, and I have a lot of projects in the works. So yes, I would very much be, if the community will have me, I will definitely be here to serve it.
Okay. Thanks, Tana, and have a great Thanksgiving holiday.
You too. Thanks, Roger.
We'll be right back after this. Connor Thomas is back with us to report on whether he got a chance to talk to some of those bold souls who waited through the night to be on the first chair at Canyons Village.
Hey there, Roger. No background music this time. I'm in the soundproof booth that is the Red Pine Gondola, headed up to the top of Saddleback to watch them break the banner. I did get to speak with the lucky two guys, actually. It was a group of five getting the jerseys, but there were two guys in particular that were first chair. They've been here since 2 p.m. yesterday. I'm going to keep them anonymous because they're Wasatch students that did skip last period, although I think at least one of them told his teacher. He said he didn't really ask as so much as he told, and it sounds like that worked out for him.
High school kids.
Yes, they tried to do it last year and unfortunately failed. They had some car trouble on the way, so they were successful this year, and it's really, really good to see.
2 p.m. So now what happens next? You're riding, you're in the gondola. You say there's a banner that needs to be broken. How does that work?
Yeah, well, it's an annual tradition. The first chair gets to ski off the lift, and they break a banner in honor of opening day. Going to get some good photos of that. I am here with the media scrum. If you can give them a cheer. Yeah, so we're all pretty hyped up here in the RPG. And now we have stopped over the scariest part of it. I don't like heights like this. And I'm told that it's the highest banner break in the Wasatch just by elevation. It's sort of the advantage of taking a couple lifts to get up through the Canyons Village side. And that's pretty exciting for today.
As you were getting on the gondola, could you give us a sense of how many people had, you know, shown up to ski early morning on the first day, even if they weren't going to be there since 2 p.m. yesterday?
Yeah, 2 p.m. yesterday might have been a stretch for most. It has definitely filled up. That line is stretching around the maze. I'd give it at least 100. I'm not quite sure an exact head count, but at least 100 people when I boarded were waiting patiently.
Okay. Anything else that you can add about your observations of the day?
No, just excited for everybody. Come and get some Orange Bubble Bites. They're debuting a new free complimentary snack at the bottom of Canyons Village today. So that's going to be a feature for the rest of the season starting sometime in mid-December.
Are they feeding the media scrum?
Yeah, and I didn't have breakfast, so it's much appreciated.
All right. Connor Thomas talking to us live from the Canyons Village here on opening day at PCMR. Thanks for spending time with us, Connor.
Thanks, Roger.
I'm here with Chase Noteworthy, Vice President for Media and Outreach with the Park City High School National Honor Society. Chase, thanks for spending time with us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So, Chase, why are you here today? What are we going to talk about?
I'm here to talk about the National Honor Society's annual food drive for Park City, which is where we really just set up at a series of local grocery stores and elementary schools and churches and try to get the community involved in our program.
And when does it start?
It starts December 2nd and ends December 18th.
Okay, so it's not a Thanksgiving thing, but we will see you guys camped out at various grocery stores throughout that whole period?
Yes.
How many members of the National Honor Society participate in this?
190.
Okay, and how big a drive is this?
Last year we raised about 70,000 pounds of food, and this year we are looking to increase to 75,000 to 80,000.
And I believe you told me this is the largest food drive in Utah.
Yes, it is.
And how long? And this has been going on for a number of years. It's an annual event.
Yes.
Okay. And tell me the kinds of things that you try to collect.
We collect canned foods, flour, rice, oil, kind of all the staples, but we really put an emphasis on canned foods because they stay. They're obviously non-perishable.
And how many hours will we see people at the various grocery stores? Are they going to be staffing there basically almost every day?
Yes. So for Smith's, we'll be there only on the weekends, but that will be all day. And then we'll be at the market most days, either after school hours or all day on the weekends.
Now, I know that you mentioned that sometimes you have a little bit of a competition in order to inspire different classes to participate. How does that work?
Yes. So this year, we are doing fantasy football. And so all of the classes get assigned a team, and when you bring in more food, they get more points, and the class with the most amount of points at the end of the year gets either a pizza party or maybe a movie day or a free day, or we try to convince teachers maybe to give them a free assignment.
Have you done that kind of a competition before, or is that new?
Yes. So last year we did the Hunger Games. The year before that we did the World Cup, during the World Cup for soccer, and so we just try to pick culturally relevant events and make it fun for the kids.
So 70,000 pounds of food, hopefully 75 this year. It's a lot. Where does it all go?
It all goes to the Christian Center.
Okay, and they distribute it to their normal Christian Center?
Yes, they either put it in their food pantry or give it to other local Utah food banks. And this year we're partnering with Wasatch High School, and I think we'll be donating to there.
Now, that sounds like an even better competition. Are you going to compete with Wasatch High School to see who gets the most food?
We're partnering, but I think they're also running it on their own a little bit. But I would love to have a competition with them, but I think that might start some issues.
All right. Anything else you want to tell our viewers about how they can best participate and about the food drive?
Yes, just really, we want the community to be as involved as they can, so any donations would really help us out a lot. Just if you're at the grocery store and you see our members camped out outside, maybe just go in and grab a couple cans and give it to them, give a smile, and just we want the community to be involved. This is not our high school event. This is a Park City event.
Chase Noteworthy, thanks for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back after this. Since we're talking about opening days, we should let you know that for the first time ever, Deer Valley Resort will open for Thanksgiving weekend. Four chairlifts will serve as five runs on the early November 30th opening, a milestone for the resort, which typically opens in December. Deer Valley will host the annual exclusive Season Pass Holder Appreciation Day on Friday, November 29th, with first tracks opportunity before the official start of the season. Deer Valley's original opening date was December 7th. And of course, as we talked about earlier this morning, Park City Mountain opened for the season this morning with at least 325 acres of skiable terrain. Skiers and riders can hit the slopes from both Mountain and Canyons Village base areas across a combined seven lifts and two magic carpets. Also, Alta Ski Area in Little Cottonwood Canyon is opening its 87th winter season today. The ski area is coming off back-to-back seasons of the deepest snowfalls on record and hopes to have a repeat performance this year. Collins and Wildcat lifts were scheduled to open at 10 a.m. The resort recommends expert skiers only. given the limited groomed terrain. Enrollment in Park City schools will remain closed this year. KPCW's Christine Weller reports this means students out of Park City School District boundaries will not be accepted.
The Board of Education unanimously voted Tuesday to keep enrollment in the district closed during the 2025 to 2026 school year. Business Administrator Randy Upton said enrollment status is typically driven by a school's capacity, which is determined by the number of teaching stations times the district's average class size. Only McPullen and Jeremy Wrench Elementary Schools and Park City High School would have open enrollment. However, Upton said the board can vote to close enrollment in schools if there is active construction in the district.
The district can close schools to make sure they wait until that construction is done to make sure there's plenty of room for the kids that we have.
Upton said the closure of Treasure Mountain Junior High is also a factor. Treasure Mountain will be decommissioned at the end of this school year, and Ecker Hill and Park City High School are expanding to accommodate Treasure Mountain students. Ninth graders from Treasure Mountain will have moved to the high school, and eighth graders will attend Ecker Hill. During KPCW's Local News Hour Thursday, board member Meredith Reed said the board wants to see how the changes go before potentially opening enrollment. She said development in the area could also impact enrollment numbers.
If we have, you know, continued development and building in our community and more families move here, then we'll still be filling our classrooms. So it's more of a wait and see than make a change and then, oh, that wasn't the right change.
Out-of-district students may continue attending Park City schools if they were previously accepted. However, students moving from one school to another next year must submit an open enrollment application during the early enrollment period. Some district employees may also be allowed to complete open enrollment applications. The early enrollment period is open until February 7th. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
Woodward Park City actually opened its tubing park yesterday thanks to recent winter storms. All 7 sliding lanes will open for the season at 1 p.m. today. Woodward will celebrate with music, s'mores, and giveaways from noon to 2 p.m. Saturday. The Hot Laps lift will start spinning after Thanksgiving, November 29th. The owners of the Town Lift Plaza on Park City's Main Street want to sell the property. KPCW's Parker Malatesta reports they plan to list it for $27 million.
The Sweeney family, who has owned the property for decades, announced its intention to sell the Town Lift Plaza earlier this month. The move came after the family sued Park City Mountain owner Vail Resorts in 3rd District Court November 7th. The Sweeneys argue Vail violated the decades-old lease governing their land at the base of the Town Lift. The longtime local family is concerned about potential legal risk after a personal injury lawsuit was filed against them last year. They say, per the agreement, Vail must shield them from liability and claim Vail is not. Park City Mountain Vice President and COO Deidre Walsh said the Town Lift will continue to operate now and in the future through long-standing and long-term rights in the property. So far, no court date has been set. In the meantime, Pat Sweeney told KPCW they plan to list the property for $27 million in December. His nephew, Robert Sweeney, will be the commercial listing agent. The Sweeneys made a $64 million sale in 2019 when Park City Municipal bought the family's land on Treasure Hill to establish a conservation easement. Park City voters approved a $48 million bond to buy the 105 acres to block a proposed development consisting of condos and a high-rise hotel. Parker Malatesta, KPCW News.
Ecker Hill Middle School has a new mascot. KPCW's Christine Weller reports the change comes as the district plans to close Treasure Mountain Junior High.
Ecker Hill has voted in a new mascot, Manny the Miner. The District Board of Education unanimously approved Timmy the Timberwolf's retirement at its meeting Tuesday. Treasure Mountain teacher Ellie Johnson said the change was spurred by district restructuring. Treasure Mountain will be decommissioned at the end of this school year, and Ecker Hill and Park City High School are expanding to accommodate Treasure Mountain students. Ninth graders from Treasure Mountain will move to the high school, and eighth graders will attend Ecker Hill. Teachers will also move to corresponding schools. Johnson said administrators wanted Ecker Hill to feel new and inviting for all staff and students and thought a new mascot might be the answer.
It is very exciting for Treasure teachers to make the move to Ecker, but there also is anxiety around the topic. So we want to make sure that the Treasure teachers feel comfortable, the Ecker teachers feel comfortable, and of course the students as well.
The Ecker Hill student body voted in the Timberwolf mascot in 1997. Ecker Hill principal Garrett Rose says students and teachers got to vote again this year. Almost 30 years later, the survey showed Ecker Hill students preferred the Miner's mascot, but Rose said teachers were split. Johnson said Ecker administrators are student-focused and ultimately supported the change. Ecker Hill and Park City High School colors will now be the same, red and black. Christine Weller, KPCW News.